Now, Paul goes on to say here, he says, whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, Paul here uses the word dispensation, and when we were back in Ephesians, I dealt with that in a great deal of detail. The word dispensation is the word economy, even by transliteration. And we have political economy, domestic economy, and actually there are different economies in which God deals with the world. But, my friend, always it's based on the redemption of Jesus Christ. Before he came to this world, man brought a little lamb, looking to his coming in faith. Because they were not saved by the little lamb, they were saved by Christ who died for them. Now, we don't bring a lamb today because it's now a historical fact that Jesus has already come. And all you have to do is to trust him today. And Paul, therefore, can say here, I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, this new economy in which we've come of the church, which is given to me for you, that is, actually to the Gentiles up there at Colossae, to fulfill the word of God. This had been something that was hidden in the Old Testament. But now God says the gospel must go to the Gentiles. And he says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, we have seen what that mystery was, something not revealed in the Old Testament and now revealed. We saw in Ephesians that that mystery was that not the Gentiles would be saved, but that something new was going to happen. God would now put Israel on the same basis as Gentiles. All are lost. All have sinned. All have come short. Now he's making something new. He's taking both Jew and Gentile, taking men out of all races, putting them in something new, and that's the church. That was never revealed in the Old Testament, but it's now being revealed. Even the mystery, it's been hid from ages, from generations. It's now made known to his saints. Paul wasn't the only one that had this, as some people seem to think. It was made known to his saints in that day, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is, you and I today have been brought into something new, the church. And the church has a glorious prospect ahead of it. We're in Christ today. The minute you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you, puts you in the body of believers. What a glorious, wonderful thing. Now he says, whom we preach, warning every man. Now, the gospel is not what we preach, it's whom we preach. No man has ever preached the gospel that hasn't preached Christ. You see, Christ is the gospel. He's eternal life, John said. John says, we're going to make known to you this eternal life. We've seen eternal life. Well, who do you see? Christ. And my friend, today you either have him or you don't have him. The gospel is Christ. It's what he has done for us in his death, his resurrection, and what he's going to do in the future, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, there's something else. We're to teach. I believe that there are two things that we as ministers today should do. We should preach the gospel. We're not only called to win sinners to Christ, but to save them from the wrath to come. That's wonderful. But I am today to seek to make men and women faithful members of a church, a local church. And that's the reason I think that we have the support so many pastors across this country today. I'm trying to help the churches. And if I don't, I'm not fulfilling my ministry, because I'm not only to preach the gospel, but I'm to build up people that they might be good, well, let me say it, good church members, that they might be faithful there, they might grow in grace, and that they might indeed serve Christ in a local assembly. This, my friend, is something I want to tell you, it's quite wonderful. Now, Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, this is something I think is very personal and quite wonderful. He says, this is what I'm laboring to do, and I'm striving. And this word strive means to agonize according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And oh, that's the desire, should be the desire of everyone today that's working for Christ, is that he might work in us mightily, doing two things, getting out the word of God, the gospel, that men might be saved from the wrath to come, and then to build them up in the faith. Now, those are the two things that, as ministers, that we're to do today. Those are two things the church should be doing today. It's very important. And that brings us, by the way, now to the conclusion of chapter 1. We've been here a long time, but we've been talking about Christ and what he's done for us, what he is doing for us, what he's going to do for us. And that takes a lot of time to tell all of that.